Well, if you have your Bibles with you, we will be looking at primarily three passages today by way of introducing a series we'll be beginning next week. The passages today are found in 2 Thessalonians, and then passages from 1 and 2 Peter. But we will get there eventually. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for its timeless truths. We pray that you would prepare our hearts to be receptive of your truth today. Speak to our hearts through your Word, by your Spirit, and we'll be happy to give you all the praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I mentioned last week that Georgie and I were married in 1963 when I was in the midst of a short three-year Army tour. And then I went into business. And I shared all about that last week. And we have been serving rural America since 1970. Now, that's a long time. But we were very young. We were very young. Boy, were we ever. I want to share with you just a bit about my preaching style. I subscribe to my gifted pastoral theology professor, who in counsel to us young aspiring pastors said this, "Fellows, if you haven't struck oil in 30 minutes, quit boring." So we will try and cram everything into 30 minutes most Sundays. There might be one or two where I have to go a little bit longer, but I won't tell you. I also hold in high esteem the preacher Charles H. Spurgeon, whom Chuck Swindoll described in his book entitled Growing Strong this way. He writes, "Spurgeon was a character. His style was so loose, he was criticized again and again for bordering on frivolity in the tabernacle pulpit. Certain incensed fellow clergymen railed against his habit of introducing humor into his sermons. With a twinkle in his eye, Spurgeon replied, 'If you only knew how much I held back.'" This preacher thinks it less a crime to cause a momentary chuckle than a half hour of slumber. Thus, you can expect a pithy saying, a corny story, that in some way relate to the truths of the Word that we will be looking at. But I want to say this, very seriously, I take my privilege serious as one who has the opportunity to open and share the Word of God, recognizing that according to James, those who do this will incur a stricter judgment. So, as we begin our times together in the Word, let me ask you the question. What do you believe about the Bible? Is it the book you can trust? A new minister was asked to take the boys, the junior high boys class in Sunday school. The regular teacher was absent, and he thought, well, I'll just see what the boys know. So he asked the question, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" All the boys denied doing it, and the preacher was appalled at their ignorance. At the next deacon's meeting, the new preacher went on to relate what happened. The group was abnormally silent until a veteran of disputes spoke up, Preacher, this seems to be bothering you a lot. But I've known those boys since they were born, and they're good boys. They said they didn't do it. I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the maintenance and building fund and fix the walls and be done with it. The Bible. What do you believe about the Bible? George Whitefield, famous preacher, one of my idols as I read history, was George Whitefield. George Whitefield said he was preaching in England, and he asked one man, "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe the same as the church," the man replied. "And what does the church believe?" Whitefield asked. "Well, they believe the same as me." Seeing that he was getting nowhere, Whitefield said, And what is it that you both believe?" "Well," the fellow responded, "I guess we believe the same thing." Some years ago, and this is the key to reflecting on what I'm going to share, the statistic. Some years ago, a survey done by the Barna Research found this. 58% of Americans do not know who preached the Sermon on the Mount. Most Americans cannot identify the names of the first four books of the New Testament. Half of all adults, 52% that survey showed, did not know that the book of Jonah is in the Bible. And about the same percentage of people did not know that the book of Thomas is not in the Bible. And 7 out of 10 adults did not know that the expression, "God helps those who help themselves," is not in the Bible. While millions believe that the Bible is accurate in its recording of information, a substantial number of adults do not believe that the Bible and all of its information is relevant for us today. 1 out of every 5 adults contend that one of the renowned portions of Scripture, the Ten Commandments, is not relevant for people living today. So what do you believe? The Apostle Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 3. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 is a good verse to mark in your Bibles if you haven't already. It's a reminder of how we are to be ready to give an answer to those who ask us a reason for our faith in Christ. So having established a personal faith in Jesus, the Christian ought to be ready always to give an answer to those who seek a reason for this hope. To give an answer means to make a defense. In the Greek, it's the word apologia, and that's a word from which in English we get the word apologetics, a defense of the faith. As believers, we need to be able to articulate what we believe. The problem today is Christians don't know what they believe concerning the basics of their faith. They are counting on truths that they cannot articulate or defend from Scripture to get them into heaven. Now, let me say that again. Many Christians today are counting on truths they can't articulate nor defend from the Scriptures to get them into heaven. Too many Christians are plagued with biblical illiteracy. In plain words, we don't know what we believe. Here's the kicker. If we can't define what we believe, we can't live it. Now let me say that again in case you missed it. If we can't define what we believe, we can't live it. And as a result, we have a faith that really doesn't work for us in life situations. We believe, but we aren't able to practice what we believe. We have saving faith, but we live defeated by the devil. It was Jesus who said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest, an abundant life." That's Jesus' plan for you and me as Christ followers. By understanding what we believe, we empower ourselves to live triumphant lives in Christ Jesus. So, what do you believe about the Bible? All religions have their book or books that articulate their beliefs. Our book is the Bible. But is it reliable? Is our Bible really God's word? Is it inspired? 2 Timothy 3:16, the second verse that we'll look at today, says, "All scripture is God-breathed or given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." There was a time we were serving a church in Washington State where it was expected that the pastor and his wife stand at the door after the service and shake hands with everybody going through. That was just part of the protocol. And I found it interesting. As people would go through, they would make comments. Some of them, "Good sermon, Pastor." "Yeah, okay." But others would say, "Boy, I really learned something today. Thank you." Someone else a few feet behind them might say, "Boy, Pastor, you tromped all over my toes today in that message." And you began to see the Word of God at work in life because all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is not a human book. It is God's book of communicating to us. God used human authors without violating their personalities. Amazing. God also controlled the authors so that what they wrote was exactly what God wanted revealed to mankind. Last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God." What does that mean? Well, it means this. The Bible authors didn't wake up in the morning and say, "Ooh, it's raining today. I think I'll write some Bible." It didn't work that way. It worked this way. I know I have, and you probably have too, taking your children or your grandchildren, put a pencil in their hand and grabbed their wrist and said, "We're going to write your name. R-I, not the I, C-K. Look, you wrote your name." That's what the Holy Spirit did, utilizing the personalities of the biblical authors. He guided them so that what they wrote was what he wanted communicated to us. Over 2,500 times in the Old Testament, we find this statement, Thus says the Lord. Likewise, the New Testament is referred to as the Word of God. A couple of scriptures for you. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what God's Word does. You find yourself reading God's Word and you go, whoa, wow. That happened to me as a businessman. I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5 one morning about 6 o'clock before I went to work. Georgie was still in bed. The children were asleep. And I came across the verse that said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. And I sat there and I went, whoa, I've been living for the wrong person. And that decision changed my life forever. It wasn't long before God called me away from that business to go back to college to study to prepare to serve him. The Bible refers to itself as the Word of God. And the Bible is a survivor. Weather couldn't destroy it. Unlike clay tablets of the Babylonians, the scriptures had to be light and mobile. Papyrus and parchment were used until paper was invented in AD 105. Many major writings written on such vulnerable materials as parchments vanished altogether. Yet manuscripts of the Bible have miraculously survived. The Dead Sea Scrolls alone consist of hundreds of manuscripts, including copies from every book in the Old Testament except Esther. Is the Bible the Word of God? It's a survivor. In AD 303, an edict to destroy all Bibles was decreed by Rome. Anyone found with a Bible was killed, but still the Bible survived and brings hope to us today. Is it really the Word of God? Or does it just contain God's Word? What do you believe? A businessman was in a great deal of trouble. His business was failing. He had just put everything he had into this business, and it was going south. He owed everybody. It was so bad that he didn't really know what to do. He confided in his pastor, and his pastor gave him the following counsel. Here's what I want you to do, the pastor said. Put a beach chair and your Bible in your car and go down to the water's edge. Sit down in your beach chair and open the Bible in your lap. The wind will rifle the pages back and forth. And wherever it stops, I want you to look down, and your answer will be the first thing you read. Well, about a year later, the businessman was back in church. He brought his wife and children with him. The man was in a new custom-made suit. His wife had a mink stole. His children were shined and looking good. And the businessman pulled an envelope out of his pocket, crammed with bills, money, and gave it to the pastor in appreciation. The pastor recognized him and said, I gotta know, did you do what I suggested? Absolutely, said the businessman. You took a beach chair and your Bible and you went down by the water? Yes, I did. And you opened the Bible and let the wind ruffle the pages? And yes, sir. And it stopped. And what did you read? The first words I saw? Chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 for the uninitiated is a restructuring of your business that allows you to stay in business and make money. I might not have to use that one again. For 19 centuries, every device and destruction humanly possible tried to eliminate the power and the provision of the Bible, God's Word. And yet God has made it indestructible. So, what do we believe about the Bible? Well, the only logical conclusion is that it is a supernatural book. The uniqueness of the Bible is that it was a collection of 66 books. It's divided into two sections, the Old and New Testament. It was written by over 40 different authors, most of whom didn't know each other. They came from a variety of professions. There were fishermen, like Peter and John, a statesman, Moses was a statesman, a doctor, Dr. Luke, tax collector, Matthew. The Bible was written in different places. Moses wrote in the wilderness. Jeremiah in a dungeon. Paul wrote in prison. Luke wrote while traveling. The Bible was written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. It was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It was written over a time period of at least 1,500 years. Now, it doesn't take much of an imagination to see the impossibility of such a collection of human writings having any continuous thought or harmony. Yet, from the opening sentences of Genesis to the closing sentences of Revelation, there is a common thread of God's dealings with mankind. The Bible itself describes itself as being inspired. Inspired, by definition, is God superintending human authors so that using their own personalities, they composed and recorded without error his revelation to man in the original autographs. And that's where we get 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful, profitable for us. So, what do we believe about the Bible? The only logical conclusion is that the Bible is a supernatural book. You can't come to an honest, different conclusion. Thus, the Bible is accurate, it's authoritative, and it's trustworthy. Scripture is the means by which God has chosen to introduce and reveal himself to you and to me. The reason for that, it's his desire to enjoy a relationship with us. That's God's desire. Many books are written and published annually. I wrote one. It's sitting somewhere on Amazon. Less than 1% survive for 7 years. No one thinks of reading a Bible 10 times as a big deal. Yet people study the scriptures for a lifetime and never cease to find fresh and precious truths in it. Why? It's the only book that is alive with the Spirit of God. My mentor at Multnomah was Dr. John G. Mitchell, founder of Know Your Bible Hour. He was a contemporary with William R. Newell. And in talking to each other, William R. Newell has written two commentaries this thick, one on Romans and the other on Hebrews. William R. Newell said this to Dr. Mitchell. You know, Jack, I have taught the book of Romans more than 80 times. Now you think about that. When you are the teacher, you do extra work in preparation. He said, I have taught the book of Romans more than 80 times, and the grass is still green. He's milking new truths as the Spirit of God illuminates the mind. The Bible is a supernatural book. Every man, every woman has a basis of authority on which he thinks and acts. For the Christian, it's the Bible. You can, with confidence, trust the Bible as the Word of God. However, the accuracy and dependability of the Bible is of little value. Did you hear me? The accuracy and dependability of the Bible is of little value unless you read the Bible and let it read you. Reading the Bible, do it. It's trustworthy. You can believe it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are the author of life. And in your divine plan, you desired to communicate with us. We thank you for our Bible. We believe that it is God-breathed and accurate and authoritative for us today. Help us to read it, believe it, and live it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.